and your mercy toward us, toward your goodness and your mercy toward us, we offer praise. Amen. We can give God a hand clap of praise in this place. Amen. To know that he's worthy. Amen. And from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, his name is worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. Just thank God for who he is. Thank God for everybody in the place. Most of all, we thank God for Christ. Thank God for his death on Calvary, who enables us and compels us, oh God, to run on just a little while longer to see what the end is going to be. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Beginning at the 17th verse. Actually, we're going to begin at the 12th verse. We're not going to preach all this, but we're going to begin at the 12th verse. Amen. And it reads, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in the heart. For whether we beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which should live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but of him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man any more after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, we know him henceforth that way no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. This is how he did it. This is how we became new. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. And just briefly, amen, we just want to talk about the power of submissive love. Amen. We do see the word love in verse 14. We don't really see it in these verses 18, 19, and 20, but it was love. Amen. It was the power of Christ submitting to the love of God. Amen. To give up his, he never stopped being God. Amen. But he submitted his will to the Father, that the Father could dwell in him and reconcile the people as us unto himself. Amen. So we just want to talk about the power of submissive love. God was in Christ. Amen. God was in Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless and praise your holy and your righteous name. To know that, God, you're so worthy. You're loving. You're awesome. Your fulfillment that you've given us is better than life itself. So God, as the deer panteth after the water brook, so does our souls pant after you. God, we pray, oh Lord, that you click every heart in this place, that something will turn on, a switch will turn on us, that you can break our hearts to how much we love, what you've done for us. Oh God, on that cross, how much you loved us, what it cost, the high cost, oh God, to save us and redeem us, that you gave up everything when you gave up your son. God, break and crush my heart to your voice. Help me not speak out of turn. Help me not to get on tangents, oh God, but to be attentive to the Holy Ghost. Oh God, that you say, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God, you're speaking in this end time. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 The power of a submissive love. And I just thank God, man. I thank God, and I guess it would be a message if God didn't put me right where I needed to be. Amen. But sometimes we wrestle and we toil just to hear. You know, all we have is what God is saying to the church. We don't have what I got to say, not what I think. We don't open up a newspaper. Let me see what's going on in the world. Amen. But we've got to hear from God. We've got to hear from God. We've got to hear from God as a preacher. Amen. And as a pastor, I've got to be able to hear what God is saying to the church. Amen. And so we just thank God, man. We thank God in this turbulent country, in this turbulent world, in our society. There are so many things that are going wrong. Amen. In this world. But we thank God to know that Jesus is still on the throne. He's still in control. Amen. He will be exalted. That's our theme for the month. Amen. Be still and know that I'm God. Amen. And in this theme of the month, you know, boy, we can go through some things. When we go through these things, boy, we want justice. Somebody done you wrong. Somebody done said the wrong thing to you. They did you wrong on your job. They did you wrong in the church meeting. They did you wrong in the choir. They didn't sing your song that you wanted to sing. Why Reverend Williams didn't do my song today? Amen. We got the nerve to go home, want to call this one and call that one about what's going on in our life. When storms come and calamities hit, we've got to know that we've been anchored and rooted in Jesus Christ. And sometimes God just tells me, amen, you need to shut up. He says it in a loving way, but he just says, be still and know that I'm God. And sometimes you can go through some things, right? And what we want to do when we go through some things, right? We put our business all out there. And we want to let everybody else know what we're going through, right? We even want to let Facebook know what we're going through. And we talked about this in Bible study a little bit. We open up ourselves to the second heaven principalities and the roots and the devil and where he works and how he operates. And we put crumbs, breadcrumbs, outside of our mouth. Amen. When we speak, and don't get me wrong, yes, it's good to be encouraged by other people. Yes, it's good to be encouraged by your mama and talk to people. But guess what? Not always the case. Amen. Sometimes we got to be still. We got to be still and know that I am God. Amen. And we thank God. We thank God, and God broke me to this verse 19 is our focal verse, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world back to himself. God was in Christ. Jesus gave up his rights, never losing his deity, but he said, my will is to do the will of him who sent me. And over and over again, we do the word of God a disservice to think that Jesus did everything in his own power. In the book of John, over and over again, he talks about who ordered his steps. He talked about who gave him his commandments, where he got everything that he did. God empowered him. And in order for God to empower the Son, guess what? The Son had to submit his will. And guess what, y'all? Listen, we can't get there from here, right? We talk about worshiping God, and we talk about reaching our destiny and living a victorious life. But most of all, living a fulfilling life, right? But there's no fulfillment in this world outside of submitting to Jesus Christ. And just like the Bible says, and God was in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians, and we're probably going to look at it again, that God in us, the hope of glory, which was the mystery that Paul preached, Christ in us. Amen? And for Christ to be in us, he first had to reconcile us back to the Father. Amen? And the way he reconciled us back to the Father was by giving up his rights. Amen? To allow God to be in him. Amen? And the Bible goes on to say, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and now have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And later on, he goes on to say, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Ooh-wee. And in order for Christ to live his life through us, amen, we've got to give up our rights. Yeah. Guess what? If Christ can give up his rights to be right, guess what? We got to give up our rights to be right. Amen? And we see, listen, that's the most awesome, I'm going to borrow one of my uncle's words, most beautifulest relationship. The utmost relationship is a relationship between the Father and the Son. And in this Corinthian church, guess what? Paul was dealing with motive. Their motives were off. Amen? And that's why he said, for we commend not ourselves, in verse 12, unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat an answer of them that glory in appearance. And y'all, that's what they were doing in the Corinthian church. They were glorying in what they could do publicly. They were glorying in the tongues. They were glorying in the prophecy and all this. And Paul said, but the greatest of these is love. But there was no love. There was no challenge. Matter of fact, the stepson was sleeping with his stepmother. Amen? And there was no challenge in the church. The Bible says, whom he loved, he what? Chastises. Amen? And there ought to be, listen, there was no correction. And Paul, over and over again, he said, I judge you even as I'm there. Sometimes even as I'm not there. But the second Corinthians, amen, Paul had to make another visit to the church. Amen? And so we see here he was dealing with motive. Dealing with people who wasn't doing ministry from the heart. Amen? That's why the spirit of carnality was not being dealt with. Because they were not submitted to the righteousness of God in Christ. And y'all know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, they wanted to see letters from Paul. Right? They wanted to see letters. We need letters. We need. And guess what? Paul had all that stuff. He had all the degrees. He had studied under Gamaliel. Amen? But he says, but my epistles are, that's right, you are my epistles, written in these of men. Y'all know that? We're all epistles. And I got a question. What is your life saying? Somebody say, it's going to get tight before it's get better. Amen? It's going to get quiet. It's already quiet, so. Amen. Y'all, listen. God has called us to reconcile.
our enemies. And guess what? And I thank God for Reverend Williams. God has not called us to do the things that we can do. But he's called us to do the things that he can do through us. And that means I got to go somewhere and sit down. Amen. Amen. And guess what? God has not called us to the people that just love us, that we roll with, the people that we hang with. But he's called us to our enemies. We were at odds with God. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. For by grace, hallelujah, are we saved. Through faith. For it is a gift of God. Amen. And so we see that. We see that. He said, so in verse 13, he says, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Amen. For the love of Christ constrains us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And this is the key. Listen, this verse, a compelling love. And guess what? You can't have a compelling love without submitting to the love first. We've got to submit to his love. Amen. And they were compelled. That means they were constrained. They were overtaken by his love. Amen. I'm skipping way ahead in this message, but it's okay because I don't want to be up long. We have communion. But I'm telling you, when you look at this compelling love, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like this love. And when we're lined up and we're submitted to the love of Jesus Christ, guess what? His love will eclipse everything we can go through in this world. Amen. So the first point we have is, man, this compelling love, it's got to be, it's an eclipsing love. Amen. It's a love that's got to eclipse everything I'm going through. Paul said, I prayed three times that this thorn would be removed. Right? And God did not remove. And we never read where God actually removed the thorn. Right? But he answered Paul. And he said, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly were I rather boast in infirmities, boast in my weakness. Oh, let me get it right. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Right? This is what he said. He said, for this thing, 12:8. Right? I ain't got time to read all this. He said, but this thing, I sought the Lord three times that it might depart. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so Paul goes on to say, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ, hallelujah, may rest on me. And I'm telling you, I've been there. Man, somebody or something or a test or sickness or something we can be going through. We're all going through something. Pastor Wright. I'm going to call like Greg Williams. Just call. That's my father. Pastor Wright. He used to say, if you ain't suffering, you ain't living nothing. Amen. Guess what? But when we take it to the Lord and what we thought was a problem, what we thought was a test, and I don't know who ever been there, but I've been there. Where you've carried it, you've taken that thing, you've got on your knees, you've fasted about it, but somewhere in there you've seen the face of God. Somewhere in there you met his love, and you became overwhelmed with his love, and somewhere in there you saw some correction. You thought it was just the other person, that may be, but God had to do some correcting in you. And when he did the correcting in you, and he straightened you out, and you got overwhelmed with the stuff, you get off your knees, and I've been getting off my knees, and I'm like, man, what in the world was I ever worried about? Because the thing you thought was that big, guess what? He shrunk it and made it this big. Because you know that you've been with Jesus Christ. Amen. God is good, church. He will eclipse what you're going through by his love. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 46, verse 3, though the waters throw a reward, and be troubled by the mountains and shake with swelling thereof, there is a river of streams whereof shall make glad the city, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with us. Amen. Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes it's in a still small voice where his love just comes in. Man, I was on my knees last week. Man, I was getting ready to come to, and it was like God just, he breathed the breath of validation on me. An affirmation. I guess I'm all by myself. Where it's like he turns a switch in your heart. And he lets you know about it. It's like you get a feeling. He fills the cup. And the joy that I had. The world didn't give it to me. The peace that I had. The world didn't give it to me. The patience that I had. The world didn't give it to me. And guess what, church? The world can't take it away. Guess what? Falling in love with Jesus Christ is the best thing that I've ever did. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. His love will blow your mind. I've been there where, man, what I thought I wanted, got up off my knees, I met his love and I met his grace. So here back in our text, amen. When he says here that all things are of God. So first of all, when he says, for the love of Christ constrains us, we thus judge that if one died for all, we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, we know him that way no more. Therefore, and when you see the therefore, you got to find out why the therefore is. We love to quote this verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. But guess what? If we're not willing to go through, and this is talking about our death, for his life, verses 13, verses 14, verses 15, and verses 16, where he says, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet we now henceforth know him no more that way. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, that you should not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul said, I'm crucified with who? Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but who? Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My flesh has to be crucified. Jesus said, if any man come after me, he must first what? Deny himself. Take up his what? Cross. And follow me. The cross is not something we fancy. Just look at, whoa, look at what Christ did. But the cross is something that we must go through every day. Amen. We've got to be crucified. The Bible says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and what? Die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it brings forth what? Much fruit. And I'm telling you, I want much fruit in my life. I need more joy and long suffering and peace and faith and gentleness and meekness. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sow, that will he also reap. Guess what? If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap of the flesh. But if we sow to the Spirit, guess what? God is going to speak his life, live his life through us. Amen. Watch the seeds we sow. What kind of seeds are you sowing? There was a little boy. There was a man who owned a watermelon patch. He owned a watermelon patch. Amen. And the boy liked to eat the watermelons. He liked to eat the business. And the father said, "Don't eat these watermelons. I've got to go away for a couple of hours. But stop eating the watermelons." You know, my grandfather used to sit, boy, he would cut one in half and eat it right out the rock. But, so the boy, the father had left. He had been gone about an hour, and the boy couldn't help himself. He took the watermelon, went by the back fence of the farm. And man, he dug into that watermelon. He ate it, and he ate it, and ate it. Then he said, "Uh-oh, I got to get rid of the evidence." So he dug a hole in the ground, and he buried the rinds in the ground, and he covered it over. And a couple months later, the father was walking around on the farm, and these watermelon seeds, these watermelon plants start coming up out of the ground. And he said, "Now look at it." He yelled and called his son, because what he planted in the ground, it came back. We've got to know, young people, we've got to know the seeds that we sow will come back. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. And guess what? You're going to reap what you sow. More than what you sow. Later than what you sow. Amen? And so we go on here, and that's where we get, "If therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things are made new." And all things are of God, who he hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not imputing their trespass unto them. So God was in Christ. God was in Christ. The greatest, most beautiful submission of love between the Father and the Son. Hence the title of this message, "The Power of Submissive Love." Acts 2:23 says, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel." This is Peter's message that he preached after the fall of the Holy Ghost. Christ being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was decided that he had been taken up by wicked hands and have crucified and slain, whom God has raised him up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, from eternity past. Guess what? They were in perfect love relationship. But in order for man to be redeemed, guess what? God, they devised a plan that the Son would go and give and bring authority back to the Father. Because in the garden, amen, authority was lost. That authority was lost because they had sinned in the garden. And Jesus Christ had to be the one to bring perfect authority back. He was the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. John the Baptist saw him from a distance, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." The Bible says in Isaiah 53, "He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And the Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him, to make his soul an offering for sin. Amen. And I don't know about you, but we see the nails. We see the spear. We see how they whipped him. We see how they ridiculed him. We see how they mocked him. But I believe the greatest sorrow that he felt was when God, when Jesus said, my God, hallelujah. Why have you forsaken me, never been separated from the Father? Jesus Christ, he took the wrath that we should have took. He took the penalty that we should have took. He took the weight of the sins of the world on him. That's why we sing the song, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart flowed away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Paul said the preaching of the gospel is foolishness, but unto me is the power. Is somebody say it's the power. It's the power. It's the power of God. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the garden. He went a little further, fell on his face, and said, oh my God, if it be possible, let this cup pass. But yet not my will. Be done. We gotta know it's Jesus. Mary's little baby, the lily of the valley, my bright and my morning star. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they held him and nailed him to the cross? It causes me to tremble. Tremble. It's about the cross. Perfect submission and perfect love. Yo, we got to submit. God was in Christ Jesus. We got to know it. Reconciling the world. Bible says in Timothy, there's one God and one mediator between man and God. And that is the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad that he died for me. If I would have been the only one left, I'm so glad that he did. Amen. And now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Amen. And listen, we've got to know in this righteousness, because guess what? He took the whipping that we deserve. And guess what? Else, y'all, we just can't be satisfied by just being saved and say, I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. But man, some people sit there, man, like their faces just tore up and frowned up. There ain't nothing good. Is anybody seeing Jesus in your life? Amen. The purpose of salvation, guess what? It's not just getting to heaven. But the purpose of salvation is being fulfilled and sustained. And y'all know what we do? We miss the whole purpose of fellowship and fulfillment. We miss the whole point. Amen. And guess what? We miss this whole love relationship. Amen. And I heard it in Reverend Williams' prayer. Guess what? We all have a cup. We all have a cup. And guess what? When my cup is not full, guess what? I'll make decisions out of my flesh. I'll make decisions out of what I feel. I'll make decisions out of what I think. Man, we have this beautiful coffee machine on my job. We have one every floor. Man, they make everything. You name it, you can get a drink. Now, it's powdered milk and powdered hot chocolate and powdered and coffee beans and all that. It puts it all together and it spits out a pretty good cup of coffee. But this one machine kept leaking. We didn't know why. Right? It was just acting all up. And come to find out, there's a canister inside the machine. And the canister inside the machine had a hole in it. Therefore, the thing kept leaking. Every morning we would come in, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, the thing would have water all over everything. And the hose that would fill it, you would hear the thing running like a hot water heater. When a hot water heater is busted, it's trying to fill itself. And it can't fill itself, so the water keeps on running. I had a flooded basement before, amen? Thank God for Uncle Dill. Amen. Didn't have to pay the man. But guess what, y'all? Listen, if y'all don't get, listen. The Bible says that God created man and he became a living soul. He breathed to us the breath of life. Amen. And that was our fulfillment. That was the righteousness of God in us. But we know they sinned in the garden. And they fell from that happy and holy place. And guess what? Ever since then, we've been trying to fill our cup. Guess what? We've been trying to fill it with this world. We can't fill it with the things of this world. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? And guess what, y'all? Listen, when we operate out of a half-filled cup, guess what? We make wrong decisions because our validation is not complete. Our affirmation is not complete. And we'll fall for the first old joker who comes with some weak game because we're looking for love in all the wrong places. Amen. Maybe we've been born in sin. We were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity or the imbalance. Maybe your father wasn't there. Right? And so the Bible talks about David said, I'm born in sin and shaped. We're shaped by the things BC. And we'll do things out of character. And that's what's wrong with this world. Christian psychiatrists all say the same thing. And people, more than, we were talking about this in men's Bible study, more than ever before, mental illness is off the charts. Depression is off the charts. Anxiety is off the charts. Suicide is up. And I meet people in Philadelphia come into contact with people every single day. Because Jesus must fill this cup. Listen to this. The Bible says in Ephesians, we talk about God has imparted our sins onto Jesus. And he's imputed his righteousness on us. What? So guess what? When God sees me, he sees me as the righteousness of Christ. And guess what? What's in that righteousness? Somebody say everything. Amen? Fulfillment is in that righteousness. Regardless of your dad picked on you and said you got a nappy head growing up. Somebody say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt. Names do hurt. Names can scar a child. Thank God for my Aunt Vel. She just celebrated a birthday. Amen. And we used to have this saying, your head is nappy like your pappy. You some ugly child. We used to say that. Amen. In fun. And we would do it in a joke, but some people say it in meanness. And we've been scarred. And listen, and that's an example of the world, what the world has done to us, scarred us, caused us to be empty, and we search. Listen, that fountain in that water heater will not turn off until it's fixed. That hole in that canister that was in that coffee machine has to be fixed. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, a hole opened up. We can't fill us. Christ must fulfill us. Christ must validate us. The Bible says, all my young girls and all my young boys, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knows right well. You gotta know that you've been wrapped up, tied up, tangled up with Jesus Christ. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like His love. But you know that you know that you know that you know that He loved you, saved you, put you on a roll call straight, cleaned you up. It's His love. It's His love. It's His love. Amen. Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians, amen, I'm crazy about this love. Children, know who you are. You could be black, white, red, purple, nappy hair, straight hair. It doesn't matter. You've got to know you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation. When I know who I am and of whose I am, I've been stamped, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like His love. Can't nobody rearrange you. Can't nobody sustain you. It's His love. To know the length, the width, and the depth of His love. Amen. We've got to know it. Amen. I'm acting like I can see. Amen. A left. Which one is my left? My left. Okay. All right. I got two. I try to keep an extra pair up here. Amen. 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 This word is good. Amen. This word is like, beat me up, Scotty. Amen. Even when I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't got to fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and His staff, they cover me. God prepares a table before me. Even if my enemy, the presence of my enemy, for my cup. Somebody say, my cup. My cup. My cup. My cup. My cup. My cup. Run it over. Run it over. Run it over. Well, somebody still ain't getting it, but it don't matter. When you know that you know that you know that you know. This was Paul's prayer. For this cause I bow my knees. Of whom this is what the righteousness of Christ did for us. It fulfilled us. That's why over and over again, he said the Romans, the Pharisees, they're going about trying to establish their own righteousness and have not what? Submitted. They've not submitted to the righteousness of Christ. And guess what? They say, okay, because it's too hard. It's too hard. You don't know what my enemies have done to me. That's why I want to just come shout on top of the surface in the church. Amen. And I just want to leave out like ain't nothing wrong. Brother, just play that song. Amen. Amen. That way I can just lift my spirits. Guess what? If we wanted to lift our spirits, we'd go to wine and spirits. And that's what some people are doing in the church. They're just trying to get a feel good, a temporary fix. And guess what? We're not willing to submit to brokenness. We've got to submit to this love. That means when the world tells me something about myself, I gotta take heed unless I fall. I gotta correct the wrongs, and by praying and submitting myself. The Bible says, don't be just hearers of the word. But we gotta be what? Doers of the word. We gotta do the word. Amen. And guess what? It's personal. Listen, this was Paul's prayer. He said, for this cause I bow my knees, that the Lord would grant unto you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened by might. Where? In the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. By what? Faith. Being rooted and grounded where? In love. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ. Hallelujah. That passes everything I know. You don't know you're making it. But the love of Christ will carry you. You're faced with a surgery. But the love of Christ will take you through. Amen. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate me. I'm compelled by that love. God was in Christ. And now Christ has to live his life through us. He said, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled. Somebody shout filled. Filled with all the fullness of God. Book of Colossians says, and you are complete. Christ is the you are complete in him who's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. You are complete. That's Colossians 2:10. Right? And the Bible says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Because of Christ's submission on the cross, he obeyed from the garden. He was crucified on that cross. And the Bible says God exalted him. I'm closing the book. And have given him a name above every name. Guess what, y'all? He didn't give himself that name. The centurion said, I'm a man that's also under authority. Under authority said that did it for me. I'm a man under authority like you are. Christ was under the authority of God. And see, the reason why we're not fulfilled and sustained because we're not willing to die to us. We got to get in this word, hide this word in our hearts. And guess what? That we fall in love. My father was at the table one time. I'm done. I'm closing. He was lost in the word. My mother was in the kitchen cooking. He was eating. He was in the word. And this is where I want people, this is where we got to get. And my mother was talking, we were talking about something, and he was like in a trance at the table. And he had the food as he was reading. And he put the food to his mouth. But it didn't make it in. He took the fork, put it back on the table, and he sat up, and he sat back, and he looked at me like he was looking through me, and he said, man, this word is something else. Y'all, that's the love affair, because you can't separate Christ from his word, or the word from Christ. That's the compelling love. Listen, as we stand to our feet, the Bible says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and of heavy laden. He says, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Guess what? His yoke, yes, we got to submit. But his yoke is a yoke of love. His yoke is a yoke of fulfillment. God was in Christ Jesus because he submitted to the Father. And if there's somebody in this room and you don't know this awesome love of Jesus Christ, you can come right now. Hell is real, and we ain't got to preach about hell. We will if God tell us to now. Amen.
But the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leadeth to repentance. And if there's somebody in here you're not fulfilled, this world can't do it. Your husband or your boo or your wife can't do it. Your degrees, your education, now it's good to get an education, can't do it. Your money, your car, cannot do it. And we chase like a dog chasing a tail, thinking we will one day satisfy this flesh. But we can't do it. If there's somebody, I'm tired. And are you tired of running? And you want to come and give your life to Jesus Christ? You can come right now and give your heart to Him. Can't nobody do you like this love. I'm telling you, nobody can do you like this love. Is there one? You can come right down this aisle that would like to give your life to Christ. Is there one? Come on and come. Amen. Is there one that would like to rededicate their life? Amen. He reconciled. He brought us back to the place where we once was in Christ. He reconciled us back. Is there one? Is there one? Reconciliation? Rededication. Is there one that would like to join this Branch of Zion and make this your church home? You can also come. Amen. 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 Is there one? As the choir sing.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that, emblem on your chain. But it means I'm free from the chains of slavery. And the blood that's shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified. Showed us a love that this world has never known. And oh, love, love divine, so divine, through our love you'll never find, so that we might live, love came and died alone. Well, the cross will always represent the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory heaven sent, He gave all.